And honestly, the paperwork is not that bad. It was very thorough, but it was nothing unnecessary. It was nothing frivolous. Like, it was just stuff that you should know. If you have your ducks in a row and you've been working on your project, you should have all of this stuff in order. So it was nothing that I had to like really scrub to get. It was just a lot of things because it was very thorough. But nonetheless, if they're going to be lending you millions of dollars, I expect they're going to have their head on straight and they're going to be very thorough checking this deal out. I have a better option than the dinky RIL. Let me show you how to create a luxury new construction mansion of an assisted living. When I started out in assisted living, nobody had a roadmap for how to build and operate a luxury assisted living. I'm here to document my journey as I grow my business and provide you tips and strategies for you to succeed. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Assisted Living Investing. I'm Brett Schottkavis. I want to talk to you today about funding your assisted living. So I just signed loan docs for our neighborhood of memory care mansions. And so I did an SBA 7A. The loan docs was a total of 1,800 pages long. 1,800 pages. Even the bank said this is the biggest loan doc package they've ever seen. Right? Like, who comes up with 1,800 pages? So I want to break this down today. If you want to go and get a loan, a big loan for your assisted living, right? How does SBA work? Was that process crazy? Why are my loan docs so big? What were the fees like? And overall, how was the process? So we're going to break this down today. So 1,800 pages, right? Crazy. So it was actually because there was three different loans, right? I had my SBA 7A, I had a Perry pass-through loan, and then I had a line of credit. So I'll unpack how I structured this deal and what all the numbers were on these kind of things. But essentially, each of the loan docs were like 550 to 600 pages. And so I got this email, right? They said, hey, here's the loan docs, go ahead and review them. I'm like, cool, right? No problem, I'll just review them. I've reviewed lots of loan docs. And then I see the size of the files, like, oh my gosh, like, what did I just get into? So I start reviewing these things. Of the first one was like 600 pages. Actually, honestly, like at least 300 or 400 pages of this was just all my operating agreements, right? They like put all the operating agreements in there. And so it's really, there's multiple companies, right? I have my real estate company, which owns the land, getting the building. And then I have my holding company. And there's a company in between that. I have my partner. He's got a holding company. He's got a trust behind that. So these all these different operating agreements that are there. But then there was also multiple operations companies, right? We're building two. So we have two different Platinum Resorts. Those each have their own operating agreements. Then there was a management company behind that. And then another holding companies for myself and my partners behind those, right? So there's like all these different layers on each of these docs. So honestly, it was just all fluff, right? There was like maybe 12 different documents that were in each one of these. And then it was like maybe 100 pages between those 12 and then a bunch of just shenanigans of operating agreements. So the thing that was frustrating was I was told I was going to be spending about $10,000 to cover the bank's attorney fees for, you know, all the docs and operating agreements and things like that they needed to create and review. They ended up charging me $31,000. I thought that was astronomical. $31,000 for that, right? I had to cover that. The other thing that I thought was crazy was the notary. I had two notaries cancel on me when they accepted the deal, right? Like, hey, yeah, we'll come out, we'll do it, right? And then they find out, oh yeah, it's 1,800 pages. Nope, they just straight up canceled. Like, no, I'm not doing the job, right? And then they had to keep increasing the price. So we ended up spending about $4,000 because one notary came to my house, one notary came to my partner's house. So there's two of them, about $4,000 total to have the notary done. And then the other fee that was pretty crazy to me was the title insurance. My title insurance was about $46,000. That's the biggest title insurance policy I've ever had. And I guess that's a good thing because I'm doing a huge deal and that just shows me, hey, you know, Brett, you're growing up, you're doing bigger deals. But it was based on a $13.1 million title policy, right? That's what my appraisal came back at for two of my mansions, $13.1 million. So I am happy to pay $46,000 knowing that I'm going in building at about $6 million and having a $13.1 million product that's coming online soon. All right, so let's talk about this deal. Here's what I'm doing here. I'm building a neighborhood out of these memory care mansions, and each one of these are about 10,000 square feet, 16 bedroom, 17 bath. And it cost me about $1.7 million to build each of the mansions, right? Just from the slab up. Okay, so $1.7 million times four, and then all my site work, that cost me about $1.8 million. So this is the site work for the 8 acres. I had to do a lot of earthwork on this. I had to go through and put in a lot of utilities. I didn't have utilities there at the street. So I had to do this, like a lot of private underground stuff, private fire hydrants. So that cost was disproportionately high. So I have my 1.7 times four. I have my 1.8 for the site, and the land was 625,000. So all in on the project, on just the buildings and the real property, it's about 9.2 million. So my phase one here, I'm doing two of the buildings. I have obviously the land and all the site work. So I actually have about 2/3 of the cost on the front of this. It was about $6 million for the actual buildings and site, and then we borrowed about another $1 million on different soft costs. So some of those things were like a 10% builder retainage, that was over 500 grand. There was the SBA fee, which was like 140 grand. There was interest reserves during construction and interest reserves during lease up. That was like $500,000 or $600,000. And a lot of that, maybe even up to half of it, I will hopefully never touch. I'm hopefully having no change orders during this whole project, right? And I'm saving that 500 or 550 or whatever it is, right? Hopefully this is being built on time and I have an extra $200,000 or $300,000 in interest reserves that I haven't touched. So the bank, they want to make sure that I'm gonna be able to get the deal done. So part of what they do is they will put these little buckets together with all these different things. Here's projection and here's worst case scenario. We are setting aside money for the worst case scenario. Hopefully it never happens, but ultimately if it does happen, the money is available. I'm not paying interest on it yet. I haven't touched it, I haven't borrowed it, but it's there. I don't have to sign new loan docs. I don't have to scramble for money. I am covered if things go wrong. So I like that part of it, but there's potentially hopefully 500 to 700 grand that I will say, hey, I don't want to use this. You know, we're going to modify the loan docs and take that off the principal amount. So I said there was three sets of loan docs. The first one was the SBA 7A loan. Now the SBA 7A, it has a max loan amount of $5 million. My loans were above 5 million for this whole project, right? So therefore my loan one, the SBA one, was for 5 million. Then it maxed, it couldn't do any more. Our lender will fund above $5 million. It's just not gonna be on the SBA side. So they do what's called a pari passu loan. So I Googled the term because I didn't know what this meant 6 months ago. And it means equal footing. Essentially, it's just a fancy term that says this loan is gonna match the other loan, right? Like, so term by term, everything that is in the documents for the SBA 7A, they're replicating it. It's the exact same terms, right? So my second loan, that pari passu loan, was about $2 million. And then my third loan was a line of credit. And they insisted that I have extra funds just in case for working capital and all sorts of stuff. And I'm like, I told them I didn't think I needed it, but I don't really need this money. They're like, all right, fine. Then if it's not gonna be on the second loan, then let's put it on a third loan as a line of credit. And it's just a worst case scenario. If you need it, it is there. Three different loans, over $7 million. And this was 1800 pages of loan documents. It took me 64 minutes. I actually timed it. Our notary got there. I'm like, hey, Laura, how quickly do you think we can sign all these docs? And she's like, I don't know, 2 hours. I'm like, nah, let's bang this out, babe. Like, so we timed it. It was 64 minutes. Then I text my partner. I'm like, hey man, can you beat me 64 minutes? I think he did it like an hour and 20 or so, but pretty crazy. It was a lot of signing. So next let's talk about what were the things that had to happen before I got to the signing table, right? A lot of people talk about SBA. It's like so many hoops to jump through, so much paperwork. And honestly, it wasn't that bad, but really there's three things that have to happen before you get to the signing table. The SBA, before they fund, they pretty much want you to be shovel ready. Meaning if you're gonna be building, they want like you're ready to go. So here's what those three things are. The first thing is you need full plans and permits. Those things have to be done. You have to have all your architectural engineering stuff done. You have to go through permits and all the city stuff has to be signed off. So the bank will have a construction person whose job is to go through that with a fine tooth comb. You send them all the permit stuff. You send them the zoning letters. You send them the fire marshal stuff. You send them the health department stuff. They want to see everything in that space. The second part is they want to see a hard bid. They want you to have a builder. that is experienced, that is ready to build your product. You have full line item numbers, not loose numbers, right? No price per square foot. They want to see sub by sub by sub, and they want to examine every single thing. And really, they send it to a third-party company to make sure that sounds like it's in line with what they're seeing in the marketplace. So in addition to that, then they will vet your builder and they'll approve or potentially deny your builder, right? Like our builder had to send in the last couple of years of tax returns. He had to go through and show his employment history. He had to go through and say, here's all the jobs I've done. Here's references, all this kind of stuff to vet your builder. They want to make sure that your deal is going to go through, right? That you're actually getting this thing done. So there is a bunch of different hoops here, but honestly, it is to protect you, right? The bank is covering their own butt, which really covers your own butt. And the third and final thing is the appraisal. You need to have an appraisal back, right? So there was really two parts to the appraisal. There's the as complete number, right? Here's what my building is gonna be worth when I fast forward to the future when it's complete. And then here is what my building is gonna be worth when it is stabilized, once I'm full of all my grandmas, right? There's two parts to this, right? So there's the appraisal side and then there's the market study, which will give you your future value. So the bank needs to know this number because ultimately they're gonna lend only a percentage based on the appraisal amount. So you have to have the appraisal back before they'll give you that hard final proposal, right? I had gone back and forth with the bank, kind of massaging terms, negotiating, and it was all pretty much in draft form, right? Here are some proposals from them, but it's nothing hard. Until that appraisal came back, until I had my firm numbers from my builder, until I had all my permits done, then they said, hey, Brett, you are pretty much shovel ready. Here is now a firm commitment that we can make saying, here's the terms, here's the loan amounts, here's everything we'll do for you. So from that time, from that firm commitment letter from the bank, it took roughly about 6 weeks. From that letter date to close, right? About 6 weeks. And honestly, the paperwork is not that bad. It was very thorough, but it was nothing unnecessary. It was nothing frivolous. Like it was just stuff that you should know. If you have your ducks in a row and you've been working on your project, you should have all of this stuff in order. So it was nothing that I had to like really scrub to get. It was just a lot of things because it was very thorough. But nonetheless, if they're going to be lending you millions of dollars, I expect they're going to have their head on straight and they're going to be very thorough checking this deal out. So overall, I'm really happy with my SBA loan. I think it is a fantastic option for the new construction assisted livings. I think because you have a real estate company and a business, and the business has expenses, right? There are working capital needs. There are furniture needs that you have. You can borrow all of that money on the business side, and you can borrow all the money on the real estate side. And they will cover the interest expenses during that whole construction period and the lease up period, right? So you really only need 10, 15% down of that entire capital when you're doing the SBA 7A. So I think it's a fantastic option, but I consider it more of a short-term option. This is a 3 to 5 year loan product for me, right? And then I will go and refinance later in the future once I'm stabilized, once I'm successful, once I got a few years of tax returns there to go get a more competitive rate and potentially get a long-term stable debt that I'm gonna have until really I go to sell this product in the future. Well, that's it for this episode. I hope you got some good context and understanding as you are pursuing your journey and looking to get financing together. If you wanna learn more, follow us on our Facebook group. We have Assisted Living Investing / Memory Care Mansion. We go and we show exactly what we're doing. We show the funding side. We show the construction side. You get to see behind the scenes. Here is us building our neighborhood of mansions. So I hope to see you on the inside.